Turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, if you would please, this morning, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 21. Matthew chapter number 21. We're going to look at some more verses of Scripture here in this great chapter today with the help of the Lord. And, of course, last week, if you were in the service last Sunday morning, of course, we preached on the fig tree and how, of course, Jesus came to that fig tree and there was no fruit, and we talked about certainly that last week. Today I want to pick up in verse 23 and read down through verses 32 because it all kind of ties together. Of course, Jesus here being questioned once again, and of course the religious leaders coming and questioning him, and some things here that I want to consider today from these verses of Scripture. And the thought today would simply be this: who will you believe? Who will you believe? Or who will you follow? You're going to believe and follow Jesus, or are you going to believe and follow man? Because we find in the context of this Scripture today, that very thought is Jesus' question. And so this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will help each of us to search our hearts today and help us to consider the thought, will you follow Jesus or will you follow man? I want you to understand something this morning before I read the text and give you the thoughts that the Lord's placed upon my heart for this service this morning. Everybody in here this morning has faith in someone or something. And today, the thing that you have your faith in will determine certainly who you become and where your destiny will be for all eternity. So I pray this morning that each of you can go out of here today truly saying that you're following Jesus and you're not following man. If not, I pray that you get things right with the Lord today. Friend, you don't know about tomorrow, neither do I. And so I want to take this text this morning and, with the help of the Lord, for a few moments today, consider, will you believe or follow Jesus or man? With that being said this morning, if you're able to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God, I want to invite you to stand as we read these verses of Scripture and have prayer and give you the thoughts that God's placed upon our heart for this service this morning. Verse number 23 of Matthew number 21 says, and when he was come, speaking of Jesus, notice he's coming back into the temple. When he was coming to the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. And I believe it's Luke, it also says he was preaching, and said, by what authority? And I notice the question, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Notice in verse 25, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? Notice that, and notice that term believe. But if you will say of men, if we shall say of men, notice this, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell you by what authority I do these things. And then the next verses here, 28 through 32, is Jesus giving them a parable. Notice in verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, now notice, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Notice in verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. Notice that word believed has used here many times in the text, believed him, and ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, to thank you, Father, for another day on this side of eternity. We thank you for the Sunday school hour and the good number in the Sunday school hour and the teaching of the word of God. We thank you for the wonderful fellowship and singing, and Lord, the choir singing this morning, and how it touched our hearts today to be reminded once again of the precious blood that you shed there upon Calvary, that we could be saved to the uttermost. I do thank you for that this morning. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be able to stand once again before this good number today. And Lord, I just pray right now that, Father, you would anoint me now with fresh oil. Father, I pray you give me clarity of mind and clarity of speech. And I pray this morning that our ears and our hearts will be open and tender, Lord, to that which you have for us here this morning. I pray as those that are saved, that each of us would be encouraged and challenged through the word of God, that, Lord, we would be determined today that, Lord, we would follow you. But most importantly today, I pray if there's one here today, Lord, they've never truly been born again. I pray right now that the Holy Ghost of God would settle in this place. Lord, I pray that, Father, you would remove every hindrance. And I pray the word of God would find a lodging place, Lord, in the ears and the hearts of that one that may be here today. Lord, they've never truly been born again. Lord, they've been following man and not you, I pray. Oh, God, this morning, I pray again that you'd work a work in their hearts and their lives. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for your word. I pray again now as your servant that, Father, you would bless me. I pray that you'd use me. Lord, I yield myself to you this morning. God, you do for us today what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. For a few moments this morning, I want us to consider from these verses of Scripture this very simple thought. Again, will you believe Jesus or man? Or will you follow Jesus or are you following man? Again, the question before us today from our text is simple. Who will you believe? Becoming a Christian, following Christ and his word, fulfilling his purpose and plan for our lives, being faithful to Christ and his cause, all hinges on who we are going to believe. Faith is a critical and very important, certainly, a thing in our lives. If we're going to listen to men, or are we going to listen to Christ and his word? Each of us this morning must decide. It is up to each individual who you will listen to and who you will follow. You are either going to follow man and his teaching, or you're going to follow Christ. And so today I pray that God would help us again to search our hearts, because not only the things that we mentioned pertaining to the Christian life and service and plan and purpose. But ultimately today, it is crucial that we even consider today our eternal destination is determined by who we believe and trust. So I want you to consider that for a few moments today. And I pray the Holy Ghost of God will help each of us to search our hearts. Again, you must decide. I must decide who I am going to follow, who I'm going to listen to, who this morning am I going to let direct my life and my ways. This morning, it's crucial today that each of us would consider, are we following man or are we following the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, today, as I thought about, certainly as I studied this text and considered the thoughts that God placed upon my heart, for this very thought today, there's three things that I want each of us to consider. Number one, I want you to consider, and this is not necessarily direct from the text. I'll be talking about that here in just a few moments this morning. But some things I want you to consider as we think about these thoughts. First of all, I think about those who have been blinded by the God of this world. There's many today that have been blinded by the God of this world. Who's the God of this world? Well, it's Satan himself. And he has many people today that has allowed themselves, if you will, to be blinded by his devices. And all that he does this morning to try to sway men's hearts and minds. And so today, there's many this morning that have been blinded by the God of this world, according to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Notice what Paul says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so I'm afraid many people have been blinded by the God of this world and influenced by the God of this world. Friend, I'll tell you, you better consider who it is that you're going to listen to, who it is that you're going to follow, who it is that you're going to put your faith and your trust in. And so this morning it's sad, but many have been blinded by the God of this world. Secondly, I thought about this. There are those today who believe that there is a God, but they have no personal relationship with him. And how sad that is today. Many people will admit that there is a God, that there is a grand creator today, and certainly there is. Now, also knowing this thought today, there's people that call themselves atheists and say that there is no God. Listen, they're putting faith that there is no God. How sad that is when the Bible itself teaches us, even in the book of Romans and chapter number 1, that a creation itself, if you will, teaches us that there is a God, a true and a living God, a grand creator, one that created you and I this morning, created this world, and not only created us, but loves us today and wants you and I to have a personal relationship with this true and living God. This morning I would put under those that believe that there is a God but has no personal relationship would even be those of the religious factors today. They believe that there is a God, but they have no personal relationship with him. They're trusting in their denomination. They're trusting in their church affiliation, if you will, but yet there's no personal relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning that I have a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did I come into that relationship? I've done that by faith, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But I'm concerned about people today. Oh, yes, I believe there's a God, and certainly there is. I believe he's a God of love, and certainly he is. But he's also a God of judgment for those that reject him and will not receive him by faith. And what he done for you and for I on the cross of Calvary. Friend, you need to consider, here we come to the context of our scripture this morning. And Jesus is back in the temple, and he's teaching and he's preaching. And we know that the question comes up, and I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment this morning. But friend, I want to tell you today, who are you going to follow? Have you been blinded by the God of this world? Are you one of those today that believes there is a God, but yet there's no personal relationship? There's never been a change. There's this morning nothing in your life that would indicate that you have been gloriously born again. There's no works to prove that you are who you say you are. Friend, you can say anything, but it's what's coming forth from your life that's going to make a difference today. I believe when somebody gets born again, hallelujah, I believe Jesus changes him. Hey, we're not perfect today, and I understand that, and we're still going to fail, and we're still going to mess up. But friend, I want to tell you today, Jesus Christ and a relationship with him makes all the difference in the world today, my friend. There's those today that have been blinded by the God of this world. There's those today that believe there is a God, and they feel like as long as in their head they believe that there's a God, then everything's going to be all right. Well, that's not according to the Bible. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Jesus is dealing with religious people here in the temple. And all they're doing is questioning who he is and his authority. Let me say this morning, before I get into those direct thoughts, I want you to consider those that are blinded by the god of this world. And all the attractions, all the things that look so good. Friend, the end result is death. End result is separation from Almighty God. Not only those that have been blinded by the god of this world, but those that believe there is a God but has no personal relationship with him. Could I ask you a question before I move on quickly today? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been a time that you believed and trusted your very soul to the one that hung on Calvary? This morning, there's those that have been blinded by the god of this world. There's those this morning that believe there is a God, but yet there's no personal relationship. James 2:19. James talking about, of course, after you're saved, of course, producing some works. He says, thou believest that there is one God. Now notice what James says. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I want you to understand that even the devil believes and trembles, because he knows there is a God. Why? Because God created even him. He rebelled against God. Don't have time to preach on all that this morning. But even the devils believe. And notice that's plural, not singular. The devils believe there is a God. They do well. Why? Because there is a God. There is a true and a living God. Irregardless of what the atheist, you know, it takes more faith to believe that there's not a God than that there is. They say they have no faith. Well, they have more faith to believe that there's not than that there is. Everybody believes something or someone. Who will you believe? Will you follow Christ? Will you believe him? Or will you follow man and trust him? Notice this morning, not only those that have been blinded by the god of this world, but those that believe that there is a God, but there's no relationship with him. Thirdly, then there are those who put their faith in biblical truth. Are you hearing me? Those that put their faith in biblical truth. Not what man says, not what man teaches, but what the Bible teaches. Biblical truth. See, biblical truth will bring you and I to the place that we understand that we're sinners. Amen? That each and every one of us, in our natural state, is in a depraved state, a state of sin that needs a Savior. Biblical truth will teach us that. Biblical truth will teach us that there was one, hallelujah, by the name of Jesus, that was born of a virgin, that lived a sinless, perfect life, that went to a cross, had laid down his life, had shed his blood, that they so wonderfully sang about in the choir this morning. It's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood, hallelujah, that, thank God, will bring you and I into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's biblical truth that lets us know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It's biblical truth today that appoint us to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's biblical truth that will let us know, hallelujah, even in the midst of this life and its troubles and trials, one day it's going to be all right. Why? Because the same one that saved us is going to take care of us and take us home one day. Hallelujah for biblical truth today. But too many people this morning, I'm afraid, are putting their faith and trust in what
man says rather than biblical truth. They've been blinded by the God of this world. They believe there is a God, but they have no personal relationship with Him. Because coming into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ means you're going to have to turn loose of self and serve the Savior. And trust the Savior. How do we know this morning that biblical truth is right? How do we know that biblical truth will get the job done? Well, according to Romans 10:17, the very elementary, and you know it well. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People say Christians are trusting in a blind faith. Oh, no. It's plain as day. It's biblical truth. The problem this morning is people are following men instead of biblical truth. Could I ask you a question again? Are you following men or are you following biblical truth? The Bible says something like this: let God's word be true in every man, a liar. The same day I got saved, I didn't put my faith and trust in what the preacher said other than what he preached and given me the gospel. Too many people today are following a man or a movement. And even what some would call a ministry. God help us today that we'd be followers of God, not followers of men. See, that was the problem in Jesus' day. They was following the movement instead of following the man, the Lord Jesus. And I understand there's a lot of things that factor into all that. I don't have time to preach on it this morning. But the very Son of God is standing before them. And they begin to question Him. Will you follow Jesus or will you follow man? Let me give you 3-4 things here quickly this morning and I'll be done. Again, have you been blinded by the God of this world? This morning, do you believe, but yet there's no personal relationship? Or this morning, are you trusting and putting your faith in biblical truth and rooting and grounding your very soul in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me give you 3 things from this text. Number one, I've already made reference to it, but let me give it to you quickly. Number one, I see Jesus' authority is questioned. Notice in verse 23, when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him. Notice the religious crowd as they have time after time. And we know that Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross before too long. But here they continue. They continue to harass him. They continue to question him. Other people came unto him as he was teaching. As I said, I believe it's Luke says he was preaching the gospel. And notice what they said, and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? The very Son of God, the Messiah that had been prophesied about, had been born in Bethlehem, had walked and talked and preached and healed. Now he's in the temple and they're questioning his authority. Well, let me say this. Number one, people don't like authority. I mean, people in Jesus' day didn't like authority. Could I say it's no different today? People don't like authority. So they are questioning his very authority. The word authority, as it's used in the text this morning, it simply means privilege or power or right or strength. In other words, in our modern terminology, this is what: who give you the right to be here and to tell us these things? Who do you think you are? You ever heard that term? And you try to witness to people today and tell people biblical truth today, and sometimes they'll even come up with that same kind of thought and talk, well, who gives you the authority? Who gives you the right to tell me? And then there's even people sitting in church pews. Well, what a right or authority do you have to teach me how I should live and how I'm my own person. I can do what I want to, and you're exactly right. You sure can. But I want you to know there's going to be an authority that you're going to bow to one day. There's going to be an authority that I'm going to bow to one day. There's going to be an authority that I'm going to give an account of my life to one day. And there's going to be an authority that you're going to give your account of your life to one day. And His name is Jesus Christ. And you will bow before Him one day. I would tell you today, friend, you ought to bow before Him today and receive Him as Savior, because one day you will bow before this authority. Now, Jesus is headed to the cross. Jesus has not yet went to the cross. But you would think that all that Jesus had done, and the thing about it, they were good things. Oh, they were wonderful things. Blinded eyes were opened. Lame men could walk. The deaf could talk and hear. The dead were raised. Miracle after miracle after miracle. By what authority? By what right do you have to come into this temple and to teach us anything? That's what they're saying. So we find in the text this morning that the very authority of Jesus is questioned. Could I say today it's no different, even in a lot of our religious realms, that His very authority is questioned? Listen, friend, He is the final authority. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the final authority. And here they question His authority. That's not starting on too good a ground. When you begin to question the very authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, they question it. But let me say this in reference to those questioning His authority. It does not change the truth. Hear me. I want you to hear me well. You can question His authority all day long. You can question the authority of this word all day long if you like. I wouldn't recommend it, but you can do that. But it does not change the truth. But they question His authority. Secondly, not only do they question His authority, but Jesus gives them an answer. Do you see it? Look back in the text. Look at verse 24. The thing that always humors me some as I study the Bible, when Jesus was asked a question, He usually asks it in the form of a question, or answers it, if you will, in a form of a question. In other words, He's going to let them decide. What does that mean to us, preacher? That means that every one of us must decide. Are we going to listen and follow man, or are we going to listen and follow Jesus? Notice now His answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, just one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Because see, if they would have answered this question right, they'd have got the other question. Hey, they'd have got it figured out. Verse 25, the baptism of John. Which was it? Where did it come from? How did it originate? Why did He do it? Was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, He will say unto us, why did you not then believe Him? See, that's the key. That's what Jesus is trying to get them to understand. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe man or are you going to believe God? You and I must decide. Notice, I thought about this as not only did they, was his authority question, not only does he give an answer in the form of a question, he brings to their mind and the thought the ministry of John the Baptist, and not only his ministry, John the Baptist's ministry, but Jesus' ministry as well. Was it of heaven or was it of men? So I thought about that. The baptism of John, and of course, considering that baptism of John and the ministry, what it's considering is the ministry of John the Baptist, who was well known, by the way, who these very chief priests and elders knew exactly who Jesus was talking about. It wasn't somebody they did not know. And I thought about that. So Jesus answers their question. They're questioning his authority. So he answers the question. And I thought about this in the ministry of John the Baptist as well as the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, or any ministry that is of God. Number one, I thought about John's motivation. What motivated John to do what he done? Now, the Bible says he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's kind of an odd character, if you will, as you study his life. If you will, he was unusual. He was different. Oh, my. You say, preacher, does that mean that all of us that follow Christ is supposed to be unusual and different? Well, that's kind of what the Bible teaches us, is it not? He's called us out to be a separated people. He's called us out to be a peculiar people. He's called us out to be a different people. And John the Baptist fulfilled that to a T. So what motivated John to do that? Did he just want everybody to think he was crazy? Because that's what the world thinks about us, by the way. I would even think it would be fair to say if some people that sat in church pews come in here this morning and he's seen some of you people in the choir raising your hands or saying amen or having a smile on your face, there's something wrong with those people. No, there's something right. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. There's something right about those people. There's something different about those people. There's a joy in those people. There's a peace in those people that religion cannot give or man cannot bring. I thought about not only him being questioned, but I think about his answer. I think about, number one, his thinking about John and the ministry of John. He didn't even bring himself up. He brought the ministry of John up. I thought about John's motivation versus man's motivation. See, John's motivation was several different things, but let me give you three things quickly. Number one, it was the call of God on his life. God had called John to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That was his motivation. His motivation was not about building a crowd. His motivation wasn't about patting people on the back and telling them how good they were. His motivation wasn't to make money. His motivation was because there was a call of God on his life. There was a call of God on Jesus' life. Do you understand that? He came to be the Savior. I thought about John's motivation versus man. Man's motivation is right the opposite. It makes man motivated by himself and others around him that will feed that. Who are you going to believe, man, or are you going to believe God? I thought about John's motivation. Not only did I think about his call, but I thought about his motivation was to give God glory. To give God glory. That ought to be my motivation this morning. Not only that the call of God is on my life, but to give God the glory. Say, these men here in the temple were wanting themselves to be glorified and honored. Not only did I think about his motivation and his call in giving God glory, but more importantly today, not only to give God glory, but to point others to God. That was the ministry of John the Baptist. Was to point others to, not himself, not to a movement, but to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his motivation. Not only, I've got to move on quickly here, not only did I think about in his answer John's motivation, but I thought about John's method. What was John's method? John's method was simply this: to tell the truth and let man decide. It's the same way today. My job is to tell the truth, and you must decide. You can't make somebody trust Christ. You can't make somebody follow Christ. You can't force somebody to follow Christ. It must be your own decision. Your own will, surrendering to His will. That's the reason a lot of people won't let the church pew go, because they want to hold on to their will and not grab on to God's will. They're going to have to surrender. But how sad. Jesus answers in the form of a question. The ministry of John, was it of heaven? Was it of God, or was it of men? Well, they knew the answer to the question, by the way. Because it was very evident. They were going to follow man instead of God. Not only did I think about John's motivation and John's method, in other words, to tell the truth and let man decide, but then I thought about John's message. What was John's message? Well, number one, I thought about this. His message was simple. His message this morning was simple. What was that message? Repent. Notice even in the parable how Jesus mentions the word repent. That the publicans and the harlots would see the kingdom of God before those religious leaders. Why? Because they were willing to repent and follow the way of God and not the way of man. Was that not his message? It was simple. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. What was Jesus' message? Repent and believe. Repent and believe. It's not complicated. Thank God it's not. You don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer or a theologian. No, nothing wrong with those things. But you don't have to be that to be saved this morning. It's simple, childlike faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a simple message. And then after the repentance, baptizing them and identification of a changed life. His message. His message was simple. His message was about the Savior. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I don't know no greater message. But that was his message. Preacher, that's too simple. Thank God it is simple. And it's still the preaching of the cross that brings men, women, boys, and girls to the place of repentance and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that will. I thought about his message not only being simple. I thought about the Savior. Behold, the Lamb of God. And it was about salvation. Again, look in verse 32 of this chapter. Verse 32 of that last verse of that parable. For John came unto you in the way of what? Righteousness. Not religion, but righteousness. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him, what? Not. His message is simple. His message is about the Savior. His message was about salvation. But the publicans and the harlots, watch it, believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented. There's that word. Repented not afterward that ye might believe him. Not believe in him, but believe him. Believe the message. You're going to believe Christ, or are you going to believe man? His very authority is questioned. Jesus answers. We ought to consider his motive, his method, and his message. Because at the end of the day, his message is about salvation. And these poor old priests and elders in the temple just could not get a hold of it. Why? Because they were following man instead of following God. His very authority is questioned. You can question that all day long if you like, but at the end of the day, his authority will stand. His word will stand. Jesus answers. But thirdly, I want you to notice in closing the men's actions. Notice the men's actions. And they reasoned within with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? See, they knew the answer. Most people today know the answer. They know what the answer is. They just don't want to admit it. See, sometimes one of the hardest things for us to do is to admit, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. Lord, I've messed up. Let me say this morning while I'm passing through here real quick. Sometimes, even as Christians, after we are saved, we have an awful hard time saying, Lord, I messed up. When all he says to us, if you'll confess your sins, faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But notice their actions. Instead of admitting, they begin to make excuse because they knew that if they told him from heaven, Jesus would ask him, then why don't you believe? Why don't you believe? I think that's a good question for you this morning. Why don't you believe? Was Jesus' ministry from heaven or was it from man? Very simple answer to that question. It was from heaven. Why? Because he was God himself in the flesh. But if we shall say of men, watch it, we fear the people. For all hold John as a prophet. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to fear? You want to follow and fear man? What he can do to you? Or are you going to follow and fear God? The one that can save you and redeem you. And give you a new life. And give you eternal life. And give you joy. And give you peace. And give you contentment. Only Jesus can do that. Man and man-made religion cannot bring contentment. Cannot bring peace. You're believing. You're putting your faith and your trust in someone or something. Could I ask you this morning, what is it? If it's anything other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. And for those that are saved today, let me say this before I close. Brother Scott, you come on, give us a song. For those that are saved today, let's make sure that we don't get crossed up in who we follow and who we listen to. Because God's Word and God's way will stand forever. Eternally, where there is no end. Who you following? Who you trusting? Who or what have you anchored your soul in? I pray it would be Christ and Christ alone. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we sure do love you today. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for all your many blessings you bestowed upon us. Thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord, I realize today the message has been very simple. But Lord, I pray that you would take this simple message. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that's not truly been born again, I pray today would be the good day. Lord, that they would step out by faith. And Lord, come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it's a simple message. It's a message of the Savior. It's a message of salvation. How sad it would be to be somebody here today that would do as these religious leaders done and reject the truth of the Word of God. Help us not to follow man, but help us that we'd ever follow you, that we might point others to you. Take the invitation, you use it. Help us to be obedient, and it's in Christ's name.